Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. We're back yet once again live directly to you from Los Angeles. Today is Monday, August 8th, I believe. And we're starting a new week, a new season, a new everything, and I'm joined in the studio. I'm very joyed to be joined in the studio by Tori Shulman.
What up?
Welcome, Tori.
Thank
you. If you guys didn't get a chance, please listen to last week's show. Last Monday, Tori was here. A week later, she's here in the co-host seat.
Yes, baby.
And I'm extremely happy. I think it was a great choice. It was a slam dunk once you got here.
Thank you. So I had to fight them to the death. No.
Yes, there you go. But I think listeners will agree. We also have great guests today. We're going to get to them in just a moment. They've been on the show before. They're great friends, and we're going to have a great, great time. Now, Tori, just a little bit about you. Tell us where you're from. Nobody's born in L.A., so where were you born?
I was born in Washington, D.C., right by the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the worst.
Is it like a famous zoo there?
Yes, the National Zoo is very famous because they have the famous panda bears.
Oh, so that's where
right
that is.
Yeah, okay. Little Ling Ling, I think. Uh-huh. I believe. May he rest. I think he's still alive. Anywho, it's free. Everything in D.C., all the museums are free. No one knows.
Wow,
that.
Smithsonian. No, I didn't
every
know that.
Single museum is free if it's part of the Smithsonian, which is fantastic because a party of four going to New York, it's like $150,000 to go to a museum.
Yes. Or right. To Disneyland or something.
Right,
here.
Oh my God.
Another $150,000. But ugh. Yeah. Wow, that's very interesting.
Yes.
So cool. So the zoo is included
in
that
included.
Free ride.
Yes.
Wow, pretty cool.
Yeah, so D.C. is a very cool place. We have taxation without representation.
Uh-huh.
Very frustrating.
What does that mean?
I mean, we're taxed just like any other state, but we have no representative.
Oh, really? You yes. guys don't have representative,
no, we have a delegate,
right?
And that means that person can speak but not vote.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. You see?
That's
wow.
BS.
I'm telling you guys, we got us here a very smart woman. And I think this is going to be fine because maybe I finally met my match.
Yeah.
Maybe someone who will even surpass me here because I'm already asking questions about things I don't know. So go figure. That's where I'd like to be. I need to be challenged.
There you go.
So there you go, Tori.
On guard.
Yes. And you come from a pretty good background, would you say? Good childhood?
Good, very good.
Good upbringing?
Very good. I went to Georgetown Day School, which is in Washington, D.C. And if you're from D.C. or the area, it's like the artsy school.
Mm-hmm.
So every teacher was called by their first name, and we sat on the floor. We had no cafeteria. It was like, oh. But the education was like top-notch. So I grew up in a very artistic, creative, welcoming, very high-end education. So it was great. It was
really?
Perfect.
Yeah. Wow. So you got the education and the creative side of
yes.
it as well.
Yes.
There you go. You're very fortunate in that way.
Trust
yeah.
me.
Some people don't grow up like that.
No.
You know. So it does take some. I don't know. In the scheme of things, you know, with the karma and everything. I don't know. I think that we choose our path. That you know that we're gonna take, and we choose our parents. I think we choose our situations, but everyone's got their own challenges, you know. So I'm sure people are gonna say, "Oh well, Tori came from an easy environment and stuff." I'm sure you've got your own challenges
yes,
in
I
life
mean,
too,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. And I always say, you never know who's facing what uphill battle. Someone's always climbing
right.
an uphill battle. Man, did I go through the ringer. So I went to Michigan and fell into a deep depression.
Wow.
And because I went from
like clinical depression,
very bad, yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is I went to this small inclusive school, and then I was like, yeah, let's go to Michigan, which was like wonderful education, but it's an enormous place. I mean, it's 150,000 students.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was with grad students, and it was cold for like literally almost every single day. And I just didn't know anyone, and I was too snobby to join a sorority because I thought that I was above it. And man, that was such a bad mistake. I didn't know anyone. I was just lost
wow.
in the tundra.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just went, and I didn't tell anyone. So I went deeper and deeper and deeper. So I have gone through And then also, when you come out to LA to be an actress, it's the worst.
Yeah, huh?
You get nothing but no's.
Exactly. It's a terrible they don't existence. Roll. You mean they don't roll the red carpet for you?
No, nobody. Oh, wow. You are the lowest of the low. In fact, someone at a casting once came out and just looked at us in the waiting room and said, "No, no, no, yes, no." To who wow. could have then come back yeah, in? And I was like, yeah. "Oh, I should have been a lawyer, man." Yeah, this sucks. Yeah.
But you know what? I gotta tell you one thing. When I'm on the other side, on the other end of this, I realize it's so freaking hard to say no to people.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well,
you
I've
know?
Heard it a lot. Casting yeah. directors do it very well.
But that's the thing, though. You know, and that's what you have to understand, though. Many people don't understand, and they take it personally.
Totally.
The point is, you have to understand they're looking for something specific. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're not good.
Right.
It's not that you're not the best, probably, but you're not what they're looking for.
Totally.
You know, and it doesn't matter how hard you try. You may not have the look. You may not have the, you know, I don't know. You might have the look, but not the attitude.
Totally. It you has know? To be, it's like when you do a crossword. I do a ton of crosswords, and it's like, there's only one word for that red fruit, apple. It has to be apple. So for them, there's only one fit. For them.
Right.
If I'm just too kooky and whatever.
Right. But if you're not the apple,
yeah,
you don't fit
peach,
in there.
But you're
exactly.
still delightfully like vitamin and red.
Exactly. You know? But you'd fit in 21 across or.
Totally.
Yeah, or something like
17
that.
17 down.
Well, there's so much to talk about. Do you have any siblings?
I have a sister named Katie Catherine. Arwen, named after the Lord of the Rings character, which
wow.
is so nerdy and cool. We grew up together, and you know, we grew up in just a very, very politicalized. I mean, that's not a great
politicized.
Word, so, yeah.
Politicized,
but also the expectation was that we should be knowing everything about politics and discuss it at dinner. So it's so funny because you come out here and it's almost the same thing, but in just like pop culture wise, Hollywood.
Yeah.
So DC
right.
is Hollywood, but without great fashion. You know what I mean? Like some bad haircuts.
Yeah, I guess.
Terrible haircuts.
Think, yeah. No places like LA, though. I mean, you know, you get style, you get fashion.
Oh, here. Yeah.
But maybe New York is.
I lived in New York 4 years, and it's different. The pacing's different.
Yeah.
And I just said I love New York, but after 4 years, I was like, all I want is to walk down the street one time, even at 3 a.m, and not have someone else be on that street, and that's impossible.
Impossible.
In New York.
So there's always somebody
it's just,
there,
right? And so the energy was just like,
yeah. But sometimes it's too much, right?
Too much for me. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm too. You know, I'm big personality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I would when I go to New York. I enjoy it a great deal because somehow when you're there with the action and everything, LA seems like graveyard to me,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, a little
like very slow
yeah.
when you're there.
Yeah.
And then you come back here, you go, you know what? I do like the kickback mentality we have here. But New York is fun to visit.
Totally.
You know, to
I
take
think,
a break.
Yes.
But I could not live there constantly.
I can marinate in New York,
right.
but I can't like saute. Like, I need to live in L.A., but I can, like, hotspot it for a little vacay.
Mm.
But it just, it fights with my personality too much, but I do love a little visit here and there.
Yeah, there you go. So your personality is too big for New York?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That's okay. ridiculous.
Okay, no, I mean, we need to understand what you're saying. No, but I think I tend to agree. You definitely have a big personality, and I know it's going to get you, and probably got you far anyway.
True.
Because
I'm here.
But once, when it boils right down to it, it's what you project on the in the long term that what makes your character, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And, and some people just come and go and get famous based on things that are not substantial.
Yes. A lot of looks, a lot about how you look and a lot about what they need. And it's a lot of, it's also a constant feeling of being overweight here
yeah.
in LA. The thin thing, man, as a woman, if
it's
you're listening, baby girls, it's dreadful. I went to an audition and it was for Payless, and you had to eat some cake and say, this is like a piece of cake. And I was like, this cake is great. I kept eating the cake. And as I left, they're like, I was like, what's that bucket? And they're like, everyone else had thrown out their cake, like spit it out.
Wow.
And I was like, you got more? Like, so I love to eat. I'm a foodie and a gourmand, but like, wow, I feel like a behemoth around women here. So that's another pressure. But
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So you tell yourself, you know, I look for the things where I'm good for.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But,
radio.
But no, but I mean, just for those of you who haven't seen a picture, you're definitely a looker. I mean, you know, you definitely look that you belong in LA as well. So
Thank
you've
you.
Got it all
Thank
going
you.
For you.
Trying.
I'm sure your parents are very happy
yes.
for you. And so, and where does your sister live? Is she still in D.C.?
She's in D.C. and she is going back to school, which is fantastic. And we're really proud of her. And she has a much quieter personality in terms of she likes to be behind the scenes. But
right.
we both love
Well, you sucked out all
the... I know. There wasn't any room.
Wow. She's probably saying, wow, you should have left a little for me.
Yeah, right.
So she's the younger one?
She's older.
Oh, she's older.
She's older.
Okay, I see. Okay, so you got the leftover, which was most of it.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much. Ridiculous.
This is cool. Well, I congratulate you for all that. I mean, you
Thank
know, you. You made it to LA. How long have you been here?
I've been here since 2007, and I was trying to be an actress. I really wanted to be on some episodic, you know, multicam, sort of like Frasier, like a very well-written high-end, and I started finding jobs hosting, and I didn't really know the world of hosting, because in 07, it just kind of had just kind of started, and man, it's just you talking out loud for a living. What a great
right.
idea. And so I'm a stand-up and an improviser from UCB, so having that background, it's perfect for hosting. It's just... you just have to be warm and relatable and, you know, a little smart. And you have to be able to read a teleprompter, which a lot of people have trouble with.
Yeah, that's true. Well, here you don't have to
no.
do that. Here you get to be you.
Right.
And,
best.
Yeah, and the you, at least that I've seen so far, fits the show.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm saying.
There you go.
All right. Well, we'll continue with the fascinations that are known as Tori Shulman in the coming days and weeks and months and years. We'll see how long
right.
she decides to stay with us. but we live it one day at a time, and I think that's the way to live.
Amen.
You know. So we're going to bring in our guests now who are sitting here patiently, but somehow I guess they're not that bored, which is amazing.
It's a high bar you're setting. High bar.
Alan Cardoza, Matthew Polacek, welcome to the show, guys.
Glad to be here, Sam.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
The host of Answers for the Family, a show that's been on the station and, in fact, comes on right after this one at 11 o'clock every Monday. And, Alan, you've been with us, what, almost the whole 8 years?
Almost the whole time. I think you had been around about 4 months before we got started.
Wow, so that's 8 years. So you've been here 8 years
yep.
already. Wow. Tori, what are you thinking I'm at?
I mean, that's my goal. Let's be here 8 years longer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, Howard Stern and Robin.
Yep.
Yeah. Like Batman
I'm
and
Robin,
right?
Yeah.
But so Alan, you started with us 8 years ago. You started the show. What did you dream of making the show?
Well, Sam, it's a great question, because what I wanted to do was I wanted to be able to help more families. And what I was realizing, and that was in 2008, I think,
yes.
Was that more and more families had no idea what options were out there. So I would get families that would call, and again, we didn't talk about it. One of my businesses is I'm an international detective. I would get families that would call asking us to find their children. And I'd say, okay, that's great, I'll find them. We'd go out and find them, bring them home, and say, okay, now are you going to take them to a program? What are you going to do to help them? And they'd go, what do you mean go to a program? I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no concept of what my options are. And I'd go, you know, this is the 17th time in which they've run away. I think you need to be talking to somebody else.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, right? Try something new.
Yeah. Exactly.
What's that saying? You do the same thing over and over again and expect a difference. That's madness. That's insanity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insanity, right?
Yeah.
Matt, you joined the show how long ago? A few months ago?
Yeah, I think in March or about. So we're going about 5-6 months here. And,
nice.
Enjoying it.
And how did you guys connect?
Alan and I have known each other for a long time. We've worked together. I used to work at a different treatment programs. And so we built a relationship, and we've had a lot of meals and coffees and talk shop and people, and we both really share a love of really getting education and resources to people. And And like Alan was saying, you know, a lot of people, parents, families don't really realize what's out there and what's being offered. And for instance, you know, if you have with your insurance, what does that mean? You know, can you go to residential treatment? Can you go to a therapist? Do you need a higher level, you know, of care? And so, you know, Alan and I have gotten together on many occasions and worked together. And this was another great venue for us to spread education and care and, you know, family values and whatnot.
Yeah, cool. So, Alan, you mentioned that you're, well, at least at the time, you were a detective.
Yes.
Do you still do that?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell Tori a little bit about what it is that you were doing.
Do you own a trench coat?
At the time.
Tell me everything.
Yeah, something like that.
Right?
But you'd be fascinated.
Yeah. I'm
you
into
will
this.
Be.
Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah. Owning the trench coat isn't the problem. It's the people. It's the people that own the pants that only go up to your knees. That's where the problem lies.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
But yeah, I mean, as an international detective, we travel all over the world. We return parentally abducted children. We break up human trafficking rings, and really go out and find people that, in many cases, either don't want to be found because they have done somebody else harm, or someone who is being exploited by someone. We're going to find them. We're going to bring them back to the people that love them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm doing nothing with my life.
That's what,
like,
right.
That's what I'm doing.
Exactly, right. So they go out there, and there's a lot of intrigue, and right? I mean, you actually get the job done.
Oh, yeah.
You get your hands dirty, and Alan goes out there and actually gets the kids, and they bring them home.
How did you, growing up, what was this, like a lifelong dream? What did this, how did you find this job?
You know, it's a great question, and I was working as a roofer, and I hurt my back, and I was laid up, and I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I know that I liked watching all of the PI shows on TV. So it was like, well, what am I going to do? I can't now roof. I can't do this physical labor type work. So I ended up going to work for a private investigator at 19 years old.
Wow.
And one of the cases he sent me on was to go after a runaway girl. And being somewhat naive, I went and I thought that I saw her, and I was staking out a house, and I'm watching these girls leave, and, you know, it's like, okay, dads are picking them up, the party's starting to break up and things like that, and I go, oh, I think that's her. And so I start following them, and they go back to this trailer park. And so I'm like, okay, this must be it. And I go and I look inside, and the guy's having sex with her.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And at that point in time, I called my boss and said, you know, it's not her. And I said, but this place where I thought it was a party where a bunch of girls were going, there's actually like adult men that are taking these girls out and having sex with them. And he said, that's human trafficking.
Wow.
And,
wow.
And up until that point, I had no idea what it was.
Wow.
But at that point in time, I also knew this is where I can make a difference.
Yeah.
This is where I can help.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like you can't look at something like that and just be like indifferent.
Right. No.
Right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. And awesome. And Matt, what it is that you do? Wait a minute. So I just want to finish with this.
it's much more interesting.
Yeah, no, not really. Not really.
What happened to the guy?
No, but I just want to finish the idea here. And what is it? So now you're doing more, right? What it is that you do? Tell some of the most recent things you do, because I haven't been updated on it either. So tell me.
I mean, there's a variety of different things. I mean, I've been involved in some elder abuse cases. It's now a huge problem where more and more people are being taken advantage of.
Very prevalent.
Yeah. And so it's going in and doing investigations to be able to show that this person, you know, is being exploited.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that side. We're still locating runaways. Unfortunately, it's still a huge problem in this country that many kids are running away. And once they do run away, that's when they are the most vulnerable to people that are going to exploit them.
Mm. That's true, huh?
So
because they're alone and nobody's there for them.
Yeah, so that's the connection. So once there's a runaway, there's the chance of ending up in that loop.
Absolutely.
Of human trafficking. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You see, and people don't, I mean, we hear human trafficking, but we don't really know what
it is
until you talk to someone in the trenches, you know?
Yeah.
And Alan is here to tell us it's a major, major problem.
Yeah, it really is. And some of the areas that people don't recognize, okay, we are a country that has many, many people coming here from other countries. Okay, that's great. Unfortunately, that's also something that human traffickers use to their advantage.
Mm. Wow.
Because
they're vulnerable too, just getting here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And an example of one of the cases that we worked on where there were girls that were brought in from Ukraine. And they were brought into the country, and we were hired to find by one of the parents to find one of them.
Wow.
And said, you know, look, you know, we believe our daughter was taken by these people. We believe that they were brought to your country. You know, can you please find her? Well, as we were doing surveillance, one of the things that we did was we had one of our people go undercover to get close to these people, because once they come into the United States, they can be anywhere. So unless you get close to the bad guys to know, that's the only way you're going to find out
that's
where.
Right.
And one of my partners went undercover, and while he was talking with one of the other people, now a human trafficker, he says to the guy, he says, so, you know, how'd you get into this? You know, I got into it doing this and that, you know, and his story was that he used to do the same type of thing in Southeast Asia. Mm. And so we asked this guy, so how did you get in and stuff? And he says, I used to be a drug trafficker. He says, but once I realized that I can sell a gram of cocaine once, but I can sell a woman over over again.
Wow, so that's cold.
That's vile. Yeah. That's evil. Cold. That's what
right,
that is.
Right. Yeah. But it gives you the idea of where they're coming from. This is their mindset. People are just something that
they're
you
products.
Exploit.
Yeah, they're just product.
Yeah, wow. Just bodies there.
Yes.
And when you think of human trafficking, I don't think the USA. It's so interesting. I'm immediately taken overseas or somewhere where it's this sort of like third world country, and it's so prevalent here. That's the scary part.
Right.
And that's the thing. So I would think the solution is to keep kids at home, you know, don't let them run away. So do whatever it takes. Right? I mean, not to tie them down like literally, but what are some of the solutions, Alan?
Well, and actually, if you go to our website, I've got a book. It's called Running Away in America. And one of the things that we talk about is just this. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the things that you can do? Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is communicate. If you communicate with your child ahead of time, they're going to become teenagers. They're going to rebel. These things are going to happen. But if you communicate with them and say that, look, when we get to an impasse to where you and I are not communicating, go see Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Uncle Dave.
Go to a safe space,
Go see, you know, Aunt Phyllis. Mm-hmm. Go see someone that is a family friend, and that'll become your safe zone. Okay, and we'll stop talking about it, whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
But that way you know that they have a place they can go to and not feel like, okay, if I go to any other relative, they're gonna you know, make me go back home and deal with it. So instead they run away and they go to those friends that may not necessarily take care of them.
As Alan's talking, I'm fascinated because I think about back in the day as a kid, you played until the lights went out outside.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And
dinner!
You're in a community and your neighbors were part of that community. And if you had dinner at the neighbor's house, it was no big deal. And your parents felt safe and comfortable with all these people. Well, we have to, you know, we have to shift because we've evolved as a society where we don't know our neighbors like we used to. And so we're living in a world where trying to understand really what's safe and what's not safe. And so as you're saying that, Alan, I'm thinking, I don't know that I'd feel comfortable with my daughter, you know, going to the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was growing up,
that's
the whole block.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. I mean, the world is changing so much, you know. I got to tell you, I'm reading at least three books about the trends of where we're going in the future and
how's
stuff.
It looking, Sam?
You know what?
Bleak.
You know what? Somehow the word robot keeps coming up, God damn it.
No.
I don't know that I want that, but my God. But you know what? Let's just put it this way. I'm grateful I'm not going to live through that because, and I'm just watching The Matrix for the, I always say I'm watching because for me, it takes like five times of sitting in front of the TV to actually finish the whole movie. Mm-hmm. I watch half an hour at a time. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching The Matrix for the sixth time because it's my favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of philosophy, a lot of great stuff to it, amazing effects. But the bottom line is, humankind gets over, taken over by machines, and we become batteries for them.
Yeah,
and literally.
We were at the airport last night, and we ate at a restaurant where we each had an iPad at our seat, mm-hmm. and so we didn't speak to each other, me and my husband, and then you could play on it, and then you could order on it. And then you could swipe and pay on it. So I never had a human interaction with the waiter.
Yeah.
He literally brought me something. And I was like, this is getting effed up.
Yeah, I know. They started that already with the iPads
and
stuff.
We all looked right. We looked like the future in like Slinglet. We were all like looking at the hundreds of us just looking at iPads.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so who knows where we're going, but let's try to stay on the positive side. I mean, God, we're talking about a lot of
quite heavy.
Uncool stuff, let's say. But you know what? We have to talk about it, you know. But I just want to present Matt to you guys. You go by Matthew or Matt?
Matt's
fine. Polacek. And so tell us a little bit about what it is that you do currently.
I'm on the backside of what Alan does and really trying to understand the minds of these men that we're talking about, you know, these kind of, you know, predators and understanding them, and then also on the treatment side of working with the, you know, the families that deal with these kinds of things. So that's why Al and I work so well together, is we'll sit and have long conversations of what's it like, you know, being a runaway teen, or what's the mindset of one of these, you know, human beings who could do such devastating things to other humans. So my background is I'm a clinical psychologist. And so really in gist, it's really to study human behavior, understand human behavior. My day-to-day job is I run the Betty Ford Center in West LA, which is a treatment center. My interest obviously lies in that, plus expanding on that and understanding, you know, people and conversations like what we're talking about. And as we're saying, that kind of negative stuff, there really is a lot of optimism out there. And through science and research, you know, there's a lot of happiness studies now and looking at human behavior. And the more we kind of evolve and the science kind of catches up, we can really see kind of a lot of positive advances as far as treatment goes and as far as just in general, you know, quality of life. And so we do have all these kind of really scary negative things, but, you know, there really is a lot of positive in our society. There's a lot of people who care and give back. And so,
like, scientifically, we haven't been this far advanced ever. That's fantastic. You know, with robots come fantastic discoveries and all that, right? Like, living longer. I mean, yeah.
And we know so much more now.
Totally.
I mean, you know, we learn kind of what makes us tick more. And like you're saying, with the advances and even just, you know, UCLA, they're doing all these brain scans and studies. And, you know, we're looking at the brain so differently now. And so we can really start isolating specific areas and certain, you know, things to look at trauma and all these different things that people go through. So I'm pretty optimistic, actually. I mean, I know there's a few
bad seeds out there. But I mean, then again, you're in the trenches too. You know, you get to see the actual people and the effects that it has on the families and everything. So you specialize in addiction and recovery, would you say?
Addiction recovery, yeah. And I was a clinical psychologist, you know, in private practice for about 10, 15 years. And then I started realizing that, you know, there's a lot more work to be done in treatment centers, and you could be a lot more effective as part of a bigger process.
Right.
And so, like, for instance, with addiction, you know, if someone that has an addiction issue, they go to an outpatient therapist, that's not necessarily the best treatment, you know, for them. A lot of people do a lot better in groups and in more of bigger facilities and kind of treatment centers than in, like, in private practice.
That's true. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think, and that's the great news. I mean, Matt, you've been on my show a couple times, and I was fascinated by the fact that you work with the Betty Ford Center. And because you've pretty much revolutionized recovery now, because you probably have heard of the Betty Ford Center,
of
right?
Course.
Everybody
oh
has heard of it.
Of course.
Yeah, it's probably the most famous recovery center in the nation or in the world, maybe. So at least it's known because celebrities go there and rich people go there and stuff.
Also, they allow families to go there for if you're not addicted, but you're in a family with addiction.
Really?
You'll
okay.
learn how to do that.
So maybe Matt is better to tell us exactly how it is with the Betty Ford Center. You guys have an outpatient, but also you have a program with the insurance companies and stuff. You see, people don't know that.
And that's really where it's at, is bringing more treatment to more people. And into more communities. And so kind of one of the great evolutions of the Betty Ford Center is now that they are in network with all insurance companies.
Because like, that's something you would never know, especially if you're deep in that depression or you wouldn't. All you're thinking is, well, I don't have the insurance.
Right.
That's all you're thinking.
Right.
I don't have it, so I can't go.
Exactly. You
and
don't even consider it.
You don't think about
right?
it. Right?
And I think Alan and I, you know, one of the big things that we believe in really is educating people on those resources. And there's so much community resources out there, you know, through Betty Ford Center, but also just in our communities. There's so much out there. And that's kind of the basis of Answers for the Family is connecting people to you know, the education of it, but also to let them know that there's people out there that can help them. And if you have insurance, if you don't have insurance, if you're a celebrity, you know, the crazy thing about depression and addiction is it doesn't discriminate.
No.
So it's not just
it
for
hits everybody,
it touches
right?
everyone.
It hits
everybody. Right.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the thing. I've visited your facilities, mm-hmm. and they have like sort of like secret or back doors, let's say, for people to
sure.
go out. So nobody really knows that you're there. And so people are, it's all in confidentiality, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's that side of it. And the side that's most important to me is, you know, when you came, you know, when you were saying about your depression, I think that really the key is that we destigmatize
right.
depression,
right.
addiction, people who have had trauma that, you know, Alan's work with. And so we build a community where we're having conversations about that, you know, on the show with you and with other people. And so we live in a society where you don't have to be embarrassed that you
right.
felt depression. It's a normal thing. You
or
know?
I didn't know where to go. It's within. Interesting is I tell everyone everything, right? And
yeah.
yet I couldn't tell my parents, my best friends, that I'm drowning in darkness. And it's interesting because I don't think I know how to, A, to start the conversation, or B, where to go. So I was like, yeah, things are good.
Well, yeah.
One in four people.
I was uneducated.
Yeah, one in four people has a major depressive episode in their life.
Yeah.
So how, you know, you're not any different than, you know, a quarter of the people in our country.
Right.
So why should you not be able to have a conversation about that because
right.
of the stigma and because of the shame or whatever feelings are brought up? So it's, you know, Alan and I's job to basically educate people on that and to be advocates of change.
Yeah. No, and I've admitted on the show several times. I mean, the listeners of the show know that I have bipolar disorder mm-hmm. and I'm on medication. But look at me. I mean, I'm the mellowest I've ever been. Okay. My life is sort of like, at least emotionally, it's a straight line, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like up and down like mm-hmm. it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be angry and impatient and irritable all the time and extremely depressed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's why, you know, you say one in four people. I would even say one in every three. I mean, three out of four people
mm-hmm.
probably.
Yeah.
You know? Because... I mean, I'm seeing so many people that go through depression, and some of them don't understand. And you know what? Some of them seek out help, but it's still, they don't find it.
Yeah.
All I can say is you got to persist, because for me, it took 15 years of going to doctors until they finally found the right cocktail
wow.
for me.
That's, you know, it's so interesting. I always hear depression is the one disease that makes you not want to cure itself. It makes you not want to get better because you're so down.
Exactly.
So
you don't
like
want
to
do anything.
It's like the worst cycle. You can't get to help because you don't want to because you are depressed. So it's this ever-ending loop.
Yeah.
So it's almost exhausting to persist. But.
It is. It is. You know, and if you haven't had depression, it's really hard to describe how deep and dark it is.
It's
you
like
know?
Being squished in a dark room. That's how I describe it, with a heavy blanket on top of
yeah.
it.
You know, Churchill called it the black dog.
Mm.
He had depression as well. At any rate, we're talking to Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek. And you guys are the hosts of Answers for the Family every Monday, 11 o'clock, right here on LA Talk Radio. So don't forget, right after the show, I know you're going to enjoy listening to more of this stuff. You know, I mean, it's just fascinating to me, you know. So what, for example, what would you guys be talking about today, in today's episode?
In today's episode, we have a gentleman who started a new app, and it's called Mober. It's the Mober app, and it's an app for people to be able to connect with other people in recovery.
Oh, so smart!
Wow!
I was going to say, technology and recovery has become synthesized, and that's what's going to make it less of a stigma.
Right.
Now you have an app, and you can talk about it. You know what I mean?
And that's
wow.
and it's the community.
Totally.
I mean, historically, we have this idea of you go somewhere for 30 days, and you quote, get cured. And that's just not the reality. No. The reality is people come back and they relapse because addiction's a chronic disease and we have to treat it as such. And the problem is stigma again. You can't talk about it in your community. So this app, which we're very excited today to learn about, is an opportunity to build a recovery community. Which,
that's so smart.
Wow.
That is so smart.
I mean,
smart.
We could talk so much about that, but we're just teasing it for you because you actually have to stay tuned at 11 to... Two answers for the family. Now, so Matt, some of the things that you guys offer, let's just talk a little bit more about the Betty Ford Center on the west side of LA. So people can come in, right? And you have inpatient and outpatient?
Yeah, the way it works basically is each person needs a certain level of care. And the best way to do that is to get a thorough assessment to determine really the how functional you are and at what level, you know, you really need treatment. And so the idea is you would come in and you'd have a full assessment and we determine whether you could basically do treatment in an outpatient setting or you need to go inpatient. And that, you know, you could go to, we've got 16, you know, residential sites across the United States. So it really would depend on the person. And the most important part is having an individual program for them.
Right.
So the reason I say that is, you know, we've got a professional program, we've got a chronic pain program, we've got even programs, you know, for like specific lawyers and stuff like that. So the key really is finding the best program for each person.
You're curating the response, which is so different than just blanketing saying you need 30 days and you're done.
Correct. Yeah, right, definitely. Right. I mean, it's got to be customized to
so
you,
smart.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that that's the, you know, again, like we were saying earlier, you have this image of addiction as the quote, junkie on the street, but it's not that. You know, we've got just brilliant, wonderful people who, you know, unfortunately have this chronic disease, whether they're doctors, lawyers, young adults, old adults, celebrities, you know, bus drivers, everyone, unfortunately. It was a crazy statistic I just read that drug deaths outnumber any other accidental death in the United States. So people are dying more accidentally from drug overdose than car accidents.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
So this is, I mean, this is more than an epidemic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to say it's like an epidemic, but it's worse than that.
Yeah, and so now having an outpatient center in LA with the quality of the Betty Ford Center and really bringing the services to the LA community, we're right on Santa Monica and Overland. So we're really, you know, we're really in a good central location for people from, you know, Santa Monica to West Hollywood to downtown and offer services from 9 a.m. till 9 at night. And it's a true community center. There's meetings there all day for AA and Smart Recovery. There's events weekly.
Do you do stuff more with Eastern medicine too? I mean, is there that like acupuncture or?
So the way that works, we have daily meditation. Wow. We've got twice a week yoga. We've got this program called Recovery Fit, which is a 12-step exercise-based program.
Cool.
So we do tons. We do daily mindfulness activities, daily breathing activities. We're learning, you know, the science, like I said earlier, is catching up. We're learning that, you know, this idea of diamorphic breathing, which is a fancy word for deep breaths.
Right.
basically, is so important in dealing with addiction and dealing with trauma and dealing with stress. You know, you talk about you used to kind of lose your cool really easily. Well, once people start learning how to kind of breathe diamorphically to activate their parasympathetic nervous system, they don't lose their cool. They're able to think things through.
Wow.
You know, I was talking about UCLA.
And that's like natural ways of doing
it. It's all natural.
Yeah.
It's all natural.
Yeah.
You know, they look at at UCLA, they've got these brain studies where they're looking at a parasympathetic brain and a sympathetic brain. When I say sympathetic, that's when you're activated. You're in that fight or flight mode and and what they're seeing is the brain actually functions differently than when you're parasympathetic dominant. You're in that relaxed state. So you can think things through better when you're more relaxed.
Right.
So you,
makes sense.
You've got someone like that Alan's fine. You've got a young girl who's been in this traumatic environment. She's already sympathetically dominant. So she's already on edge
At
all times.
Right, right.
At all
right.
times. And so her memory's not working correctly. Her critical thinking's not working correctly. Her decision making, you know, this whole the brain scans are showing that prefrontal activity, that prefrontal lobe area is not where the action's at because you're in that fight or flight mode.
It's like like the, what is it, the lizard brain. The,
exactly, the right. Yeah. Exactly. And so we've got these people who literally just need to learn how to breathe.
Wow.
And I hate minimizing it and making it sound that simple, but there's a huge element to that. There's a huge element to the Eastern medicine and the Eastern philosophies of just calming your nervous system down, becoming parasympathetic dominant, and then you'll think clearer, you'll make better decisions.
Because as this generation becomes less religious and more secular, they become more interested, I think, in the benefits of Buddhism and meditation. And you've seen the brain scans of the monks, and that's become the new sort of quote-unquote religion, is like how to use it in the moment. You see schools where they have kids meditating now, and the fights are down by 50%.
Really?
Yeah, wow. And it's like, it's not actually doing too much. It's actually doing almost the opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to know, you know, and that's what I'm saying. But, you know, so when people come to you for addiction and stuff, I wanted to bring this up, Alan, is that I'm sure in the majority of the cases, there's probably some drug use involved, or with the kids that you're finding, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we're able to, it's interesting, when you were talking about as far as the breathing and everything else, we do transports of at-risk youth to specialized programs. So we contract with school district, with county mental health, juvenile justice. And when we're finding them, okay, they, in many cases, may already be on drugs. Mm-hmm. And the way in which they react, you know, to what we're doing usually isn't good.
Yeah.
But we use NLP. We use neuro-linguistic programming. We use breathing. We use all of these things to be able to calm them down. And so that's one of the reasons why we get hired, because they look at it and they'll say, well, we're going to use West Shield because whenever they're working with these kids, they seem to bring them in and they're very calm.
Yeah.
Rather than having used companies that go on the basis of we're bigger, we're stronger, and we're not going to treat you with respect. We're going to treat you like an animal and just throw you in and drag you somewhere.
Right.
Okay. So now they're looking at it and going, wait a minute, there's something to be said for this.
Right.
For treating them with respect, right. for getting them to breathe and spending the time with them you need, and then go, okay, now we're going.
Right.
I wish they'd show that to officers, which I know they are, and I'm sure they are, but the idea of respect, and it can only get better if you're calmer. You know, escalating does nothing.
Yeah. Well, we do backgrounds for some law enforcement agencies as well.
Yeah.
And they are doing that.
Yeah.
They are absolutely, as part of the training now for the people that they hire, they are making them work on their relationship with people, making them work on de-escalation techniques before touching somebody, before moving forward. But these are the things that we've been doing now for over 25 years.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now it's all in fashion.
All right. Well, Alan and Matt, I know you guys need to, we talked about this before. Yeah. You wanted to leave a little earlier so you can prepare for your own show. I think you need more than the 10 minutes between the shows. So if you guys want, we'll let you go to your guest and everything. I mean, I'm not kicking you out. That's all I'm saying.
Nope.
But that's exactly what you wanted to do. And besides, we've had enough of you.
It sounds like with Tor, you met your match anyways.
Yeah. Listen, if they weren't great friends, I couldn't say that. So there you go.
Well,
but tell people how they can find you, contact you if they want to. Alan, go ahead.
Okay. It depends on through what. But as far as contacting us through the show, you can always go to latalkradio.com. Obviously, that's going to take you right to our show. Main company for me is West Shield, so westshield.com takes you to the adolescent services or the investigations.
Awesome.
And if you guys need any outpatient treatment from the Betty Ford Center, www.bettyfordcenter.org, you can always call me on my cell phone if anyone needs any services at 562-225-4093. Thank you, Tori and Sam.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Yes. Matthew Polacek and Alan Cardoza, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. And guys, don't forget to listen to the show right after us. And but we're not going away yet. You know, I mean, we've got Tori here, and there's a lot to talk about. First of all, I just wanted to bring up the fact that Delta flights just resumed.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's good.
Yes, and you brought this up when you came in this morning.
Yes, I was on a Delta flight. I got off at midnight, and I woke up this morning, and they canceled worldwide all their flights because of a computer outage.
Wow.
And you always think of hacking right away, or we don't know what it is, but they're looking into it now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty... Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you know, that's scary stuff, you know, because...
Terrifying.
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean, once they start taking over our infrastructure, that's scary.
The cyber infrastructure, they can just... That's terrifying to me. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, have you ever thought about or researched EMP, electromagnetic pulse?
No.
Okay, what that is that it can actually be generated by a bomb, and it shuts down all electricity, all electronic devices.
Okay, so Don Cheadle did this in Ocean's 13, I think. Mm. He did an EMP blast. This is very scientific.
Okay.
And right. it shut out all the electricity and all of the lights.
Electronics, cars, that's anything.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine that, you know. That would be worse than, I don't know if it's worse than an atomic bomb, but it would make our lives miserable.
Oh, my God. And it's funny because, like, you go to reach someone, you don't even know their phone numbers anymore.
No, you don't.
You have nothing.
There wouldn't be any phones.
No.
You know, all there would be is people like stampedes into stores, you know, looting, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then what?
Yeah.
Once everything's gone, then what?
That's
you
right.
know? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying, you know, you don't. Okay, well, I know you're actually a liberal, right?
Maybe.
Okay, so I'm not. So we won't bring up the gun thing, but I mean, but no, actually, let's say this is an extreme case, but this is when I think we would want to have guns.
I
but it is extreme.
That. It is extreme,
right?
We're not there.
Hopefully,
yet.
We won't be at an EMP attack,
poo-poo-poo.
And we won't have to use that. We'll leave politics for another day.
That's perfect,
right?
Let's do it.
And remember that also. The thing is that. I think the fact that you have strong opinions and you are on the left would be amazing.
Yes.
Would be amazing, you know? And that's one thing I've said on the show before is that, you know, it would be more convenient just to delete everybody that doesn't agree with you politically on Facebook and stuff. But the thing is, I want to know how the other half lives.
Absolutely.
I want to know what other people are thinking.
Yeah, my husband will
up against.
We tune into Fox to hear what the other side is saying before I hold my ears and scream for like 5 minutes. But it's always important to hear the other side. What's funny, and if you're on Facebook and you like certain things, the algorithms change so that your Facebook feed is like curated to just people that agree with you. So it's an interesting thing. You might not even know that, but they are sending you stuff that is only what you agree with. So now your whole life is, you don't see the other side.
No,
which
so you're
terrifying.
Think so then you think, oh, everybody agrees with me.
Exactly. The whole world
is doing
like,
the right thing, you know?
Right.
Like voting like for a crazy one like Trump, but
amen.
Yes, but the thing is, I know you don't like him. I don't particularly like him either. But it comes down to ideology, and what do I do
exactly.
if
now,
I'm
tough.
On the right?
This is a very, very tough thing because so my husband came up with this great metaphor for it. So imagine in 2020, it's you either vote for Trump or Kanye West. Was that it? And it was
that's
like
a good one.
Yeah, and you had to figure out but basically what it's saying is Republicans who are strongly for their party have no one to go for. I mean, that's an odd thing to not have a standard bearer of your own party that you like.
Yeah. And
like,
now
what is your choice?
And
you know,
the the party's breaking apart.
Yeah,
now.
Oh, it's imploding. Oh,
yeah.
It's dreadful.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You guys need a leader to take steps because Paul Ryan ain't doing it.
Nobody's doing
Nobody.
It.
Nobody. It's just a vacuum.
Upload. Yeah.
And my question is like, what do people expect when you have a pop culture, you know, celebrity running for the
a reality show star?
But you
somebody
expect?
Who used to sit there and go, do you remember how much respect people would have him just for the fact that he could say, "You're fired."
You're fired.
You know.
Ugh.
But you know what? And I posted this on Facebook. If you guys go to my page, and if you want, I don't know if it's totally an objective point of view, but it made a case for me. And that is Fareed Zakaria from CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the left. And he said, I think Obama is a bullshit artist. Trump mm-hmm. is a bullshit artist.
A con man. I've always said from the very beginning, Trump wants to win. Trump does not want to govern.
Yeah.
He does not actually want to be president. He just wants to win.
He just wants to
and
win.
And then someone else do it. So it's like, you have someone that's not even interested in governing.
Yeah.
Really.
I don't know. And the thing is, I thought, you know, well, even it's not going to be only him. He'll have advisors that actually are logical people.
But he doesn't like advisors. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
He likes to keep it solo within a very small group of advisors. That's what a lot of, you know, Joe Scarborough Scarborough, who's a Republican, says he doesn't have any advisors. Like, who's talking to him?
Yeah.
Because you need that.
I know.
You know.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. You know, if he had some advisors, totally. Maybe he wouldn't be as crazy
Absolutely
as he is,
not.
Know?
And he would turn around the campaign. I mean, yeah. You need someone to turn around the campaign.
It's unfortunate because he's in such a unique position.
Right.
To take a leadership of a party.
Right.
And you know what? I can't see him as someone taking leadership of a party.
Yeah.
I just don't.
No.
Too many people dislike him.
Yeah. Well, the favorability of both candidates are at a very all-time high.
Very.
But Trump, at this point, when he went after the Khan military family, and you go after the backbone of the Republican Party of veteran families, I mean, mm-hmm. that's when you're like, is this the thing that's going to do him in? And it is. It's imploding right. as we speak.
He goes personally against everybody Ooh. That's like yeah. him. I mean, I read in his first book when he just launched his candidacy last July, I picked up his book. He hadn't written the new one yet. So he had one from a few years ago, from 2011. He was talking, we don't have much time. Let me quickly just say that in the book, he said, when someone comes and attacks me, I'll go back twice against
them. Yeah, right.
Twice as hard. Right. And that's what we're seeing.
That's right. And that's,
called him a bullshit artist and not a liar.
That's right.
And they made the difference. And that's why I'm saying, watch the video. I linked to the CNN video. And there you can see what Zakaria said. And, you know, like him or not, I mean, when he made some points about Trump that you can't argue
right,
with.
It's a cogent argument. You can't go against something that makes a lot of sense logically.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to go against logic.
That's true.
But they said, they were like, do you want someone who has the power of nuclear weapons when he can get upset about a tweet and say, well, I want the nuke? I mean, he can, if that temperament, you don't want his hand on the button.
Right.
And I think anybody, Republican, Democratic, that's easy to understand logically.
Right, right.
You know?
And that's what I'm saying. You know, it comes down to who's the lesser evil, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, Hillary with her lies and all the stuff that she's done, or like a showman, you know?
Anyway, I love Hillary, by the way. So.
No, I know you do.
Totally.
I admit that I don't like Trump much at all, but I'm looking forward to the elections and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, anything could happen, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm pretty conservative. Mm-hmm. So for me to go with...
That's hard. That's sort of heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean,
for
what
you,
I do?
Yeah.
What do I do with Hillary right now?
Exactly. And that's
can't.
Oh, I know what it was. It was Kanye Cruz. If it's Ted Cruz or Kanye West, a Democrat's going to say, well, Kanye. But it's the same thing, Republican. They're going to say Trump because they have no one else.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know, man. How did he come to this point? Everybody's still puzzled.
Do you still think you would ever... Have you thought of not voting? That's what I've heard from a lot of...
But you know what? But that's a cop-out.
I know.
You know?
Feel you completely.
That's a cop-out. You gotta go with something.
I know.
You gotta make that decision. I think that's a responsibility.
I feel you.
Of being a citizen.
A citizen. Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, if he like so self-destructs, I'll have to go with Hillary.
Right. And some people think he's doing it on purpose. He doesn't want to win. He's scared to govern. So he's sort of imploding because he knows how to, you know, and he wants to get out of this. And then saying the Republic, you know, it's rigged. That's his way out.
Yeah. I don't know. I think with Hillary, for me, it would be like taking a bitter pill for 4 years. And hoping for the best. I don't know what else I could do, but it's really hard for me to support Trump at this point because I don't think he represents my views.
Yeah,
not even close.
He's just not. He's sort of un-American in a bizarre way.
In many ways, he is. Yeah. But you know what? All I can say is, well, you know what? Let's get into that the next one, okay? Because political views or discussions should have a lot of time to them. And we've run out of time. We need to let Alan and Matt come in here in a couple minutes, actually in 10 minutes or so, and give you more answers for the family. Tori, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Go home, relax.
Yes.
How long was the flight?
It was 3 hours and 5 minutes, but I got to go. I look dreadful. Thank God I'm on the radio.
You look fine.
Thank
relax.
You.
Relax. All right, everybody. Thank
Bye.
You all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.